Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hello to everyone tuning in. Most of you are familiar with Celtics Life, but if not, here's a quick rundown. We're a Boston Celtics fan site that covers everything Celtics, from the latest trade rumor to that other trade rumor. The Nets pick and how exactly Danny got his free Chipotle for life card, no one knows honestly. The pod covers all the same topics as our site does, but a little more freely and from a weekly point of view. The best part of it all is we're talking about all of this from a fan's perspective. We'll cover last week's games and major stories, as well as looking into the week ahead. We'll change things up as the show evolves, so let us know if you want to hear something that comes to mind. So let's dive right in.
All right. So I think that probably the biggest story from last week was the hotly anticipated rematch against Washington, or the Wizards, and this funeral theme that was that was in the air before the game. When I saw that the Wizards were planning on wearing all black and again going with this sort of funeral
WWE shit,
I was like, this is gonna go one of two ways. One, it's gonna blow up in their faces and they're gonna look really, really dumb. Or two, they're gonna play their asses off and the Celtics are gonna lose pretty badly. And unfortunately, it seems like the latter happened. Isaiah Thomas was fine being as dismissive as he was, you know, saying that the whole funeral thing was cute. Saying that it wasn't really a rivalry, that the Wizards were making a lot of it. But the Celtics didn't match the Wizards' intensity at all. It seems like, if anything, this was the game seven of the finals for the Wizards.
Yeah.
Even though it was obviously just a regular season game, didn't mean too much. But I don't know.
I suspected, like, last week, I like to pat myself on the back. I absolutely nailed this week's predictions, which is amazing to me because, like, as much as I like to think I'm smart, this was really just a shot in the dark that this was going to be the game that they lose. And for me, it was not even – this was before even we knew about the funeral stuff. It was just about the nose boop the last time they played. And it seemed to me like they were going to try to use that as fuel to a fire, and they didn't just do that. I mean, they really took it to the 10th degree. I mean, they really went with it.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, they did win the game. So that's all that matters. I don't think it paints a certain picture of the Celtics. I just think that,
not at all.
Maybe they were just a little too dismissive. And
I mean, apart from playing down to opponents, which is still a bad habit.
Yeah, no, for sure. But on the other hand, we have, you know, the Wizards are, they're a decent team. No one would call them great. But on the other hand, we have the win against Houston, which I would say is probably the best win the Celtics have had all season.
I don't think there's any doubt about it.
No, yeah, this is the first like legitimately like high quality opponent that we've beaten this season. And it was a solid win. It's not like, you know, it came down to the last shot. Good win. But I don't know if we can go ahead and say that the Celtics are ready to be world beaters and now they're going to beat all of the good teams in the NBA.
No, but they do have a pretty relaxed schedule. I know they have a couple, at least one game, maybe two games against the Cavs still, and they have a game against the Clippers coming up soon. But this was one of the harder games left in the schedule, so this is pretty heartening.
Yeah, that is true. But I don't know. I'm still holding back, knowing, you know, following the Celtics as long as I have, and this year and last year, it seems like the Celtics will follow up a win like this with a pretty head-scratching loss. I mean, it didn't happen. They beat Orlando pretty convincingly. I remember I was in my car, and I just glanced at the box score at one point, and I saw that the Celtics were up by like 40 points. I was just like, what is going on here? But Orlando is Orlando. Orlando isn't Houston. So I fully expected them to win that game. But I do remember on the last podcast saying that I felt like the Orlando matchup could have been a trap game. But obviously the Celtics.
I doubt that wasn't so.
Yeah, I know.
I was there with you, though.
Yeah. And I mean, it's nice to see back-to-back wins like this against a good quality team, and like a total beatdown against the team that they should be beating. But we'll see how the rest of the season plays out. I hope that there isn't another head-scratching loss on the horizon, but I guess we'll see what happens. But I do want to backtrack a little bit and talk about this whole Marcus Smart thing and the outburst. Little outburst that he had.
That's kind of my opinion. I mean, it wouldn't have been good had he not responded immediately afterward with an apology for simmering over. But I'd rather see that than, oh, I don't know, a certain tall Canadians. Anyway.
I mean, I don't think he needed to apologize for anything. What did he do?
I mean, he yelled at the coaching staff, which is kind of a no-no. That, I think, is what he was apologizing for, and I agree that needed to be apologized for. I think they understood, even when it was happening.
No, sure, of course.
But I think that apologizing was the right thing to do in terms of just having respect for his coworkers, and he did it. So I don't see any negativity from any of that.
No, at no point in Marcus Smart's NBA career has he been painted as a guy that was like disrespectful to coaches or his peers. And if there's anything that we can say about Marcus Smart is that he's a very intense player. He obviously has a huge love for the game. So seeing something like this outburst, whatever you want to call it, is really reassuring to me. It shows me that he's like he's still super invested in the game. And, you know, he may have gone a little overboard yelling at the coaches or whatever, you know.
He's sensitive just because of the combination of the team culture being what it is and his days in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I think that left a mark on him in a good way to control his emotions so they don't go too far. And again, I agree. It's all good.
Just in case some of you listeners aren't aware of something that happened to Marcus Smart when he was back in Oklahoma, he got into an altercation with a fan. There are a lot of conflicting reports as to what the fan may have said. It may have been racial in nature, but Marcus Smart approached him, started yelling at him. Marcus Smart was banned, or was suspended, sorry, for a few games after that, and the fan was banned for life from attending Oklahoma State games, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. So it's obvious that, you know, some of that may be, it was years ago, but some of that may still be boiling over. But like I said, Marcus Smart is a very intense player, so I don't see this as a negative. If anything, it shows a lot of character from him.
Maturity.
And maturity that he apologized right after realizing that maybe he went a little overboard. But I'm a big Marcus Smart fan.
Me too.
I think he's going to get there. we see the defensive abilities. His offense is a little sometimes, but he's that guy. I think the Celtics should hold on to him for as long as possible.
I'm seeing a fairly similar development curve to Bradley.
You think so?
I think so. I think that, I mean, Bradley was just all defensive specialist when he came in. And I mean, they have very different games, to be sure. But in terms of, like, for me, when somebody comes into the league, there's always a drop off in shooting, even if they were a great shooter in college. And defense is the smart place to put your energy while you are. I mean, Jaylen Brown's doing it right now. He does have offensive outbursts, but he's doing his best to stay ahead of his man defensively to be valuable. Because, I mean, you can't stay on the floor if you can't defend.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think that I'm a believer that shooting can be taught, and I do think that, Smart's game will continue to evolve.
I hope so. Because I think that's like the missing piece. He's obviously pretty much all there defensively. But if he plugs in this shooting, he's gonna be a tough guy to match up against and to try to go up against on a night to night basis. But speaking of developing players, Jaylen Brown has had himself quite a week. He last night, no, two nights ago, against Milwaukee, his stat line doesn't jump off the sheet. He had nine
rebounds. Yes, it does. He led the team in rebounds.
Yeah, eight rebounds. That's a big deal, especially for the Celtics. We all know, and if you don't know, the Celtics are a little allergic to rebounds, it seems. But Jaylen Brown has had himself pretty fine performances over this week. And I don't know if I'm ready to say, hey, play him 20, 25 minutes a game. But he played 27 minutes. That's a big deal. Coming from a few weeks ago when he was maybe getting like 10 minutes per game. I don't know. I'm sure it has something to do with Avery Bradley still being out. Al Horford being kind of spotty. But I like this Jaylen Brown experiment.
Yeah, I'm into it too. The offensive outburst in Orlando, career high 20 points.
Yeah, 20 points.
That was pretty heartening. I mean, like, you know, Orlando is by no means a great team or anything like that, but they do. They have Ibaka. They have. My God, why am I blanking on his name? Expensive center, Bismack Biyombo. Excuse me.
Yes, Biyombo. Yeah.
So I mean, it's not like he's just like cruising through the lane and doing whatever he wants.
I mean, at the end of the day, Orlando is an NBA team with NBA players. So for a rookie to come and score, for a rookie that honestly doesn't play very often, for him to come in and score 20 points against an NBA team with pretty good players, I think it's a big deal. And if nothing else, logging 27 minutes, which was fifth on the team, I think that maybe Brad Stevens is getting ready to roll the dice on him.
Well, he didn't. Playing mostly at power forward. He played 28 minutes in the Bucks game also. And he seems like he's slotting into a very Al Horford kind of role in his absence. I mean, he put up a stat line that if I had just like left out the name, you could easily have thought that it was Horford either night.
No, yeah. And it's nice to know that, you know, you can take Al Horford out and potentially plug in Jaylen Brown and not have a big drop off.
Yeah, I mean, it's a two-game sample, so
it is. You know. But things are looking good. Yeah, it's a little reassuring. It shows us that he was a good pick at number three. Although I love the pick, some people hated it. Whatever.
Well, I guess I was the biggest advocate. I probably made everyone on every Celtics board everywhere very, very irritated with me.
Yeah.
My insistence, we draft him.
And they did. So
Hopefully he doesn't hang me. Doesn't look like it's going to so far, though.
No, he's young. He still has so much to learn. But he has it. Like, he at the very least, he looks like an NBA player. He's built like an NBA player. But we'll see. We'll see what happens as the season rolls on. But the All-Star game is coming up soon. And we do have an All-Star, Isaiah Thomas. He wasn't selected to be or voted in as a starter, but he is a reserve. He's still in the game regardless. We all know that
he got robbed.
Yeah, to say the least.
Keep your ears up anymore on it, but
yeah, there were a few questionable All-Star choices and snubs. Isaiah Thomas being one. We all know about Russell Westbrook.
That's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't know how you say what you want to say about his game, whether he takes too many shots or he's purposely going out there trying to play for a triple-double.
So he's doing a historic season in terms of what he's putting up. It's happened a handful of times in the modern history of the NBA.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, if he is playing for a triple-double, so what? I mean, he's still getting a triple-double at the end of the day. And Oklahoma City is playing pretty well.
They're playing for a championship, so what else do they have to go for?
No, exactly. So I don't understand all the Russell Westbrook hate. But anyway, Isaiah Thomas, I know. It seems like being selected being voted in as a starter would have been a big deal for him, but it didn't happen. I don't think it takes away from the fact that he is an All-Star back-to-back seasons. Last year he was selected by the coaches. This year, you know, as a reserve. But hey, an All-Star candidacy is All-Star candidacy.
I think he'll get some run too because he's a fun player to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, put him in for 15, 20 minutes at the end of the day. Seeing him trotting down the court is a big deal, regardless of how you want to slice it. But we'll see. We'll see. Maybe he'll turn into a triple-double machine as a result of this, feeling like he was snubbed, although I don't think that will ever happen because he's not – Isaiah Thomas isn't exactly known for rebounding the ball very well.
True. Being short kind of impedes that.
Yeah, just a little bit. It kind of gets in the way. But moving forward, we got some news of GE logos, General Electric logos on the Celtics jerseys. I forget the exact dimensions. They're not very big. They're
tinier than I thought. Hate them. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. But if I have to have them, then this is about as good as I could have hoped for.
But why do you dislike them so much?
Well, look, there's ads in between the games. There's ads at the 14,000 timeouts at the end of the games for the last 30 seconds of regulation. There's ads on the court. There's ads on the side of the court. There's ads on the way into the arena. Where is there not ads? There's ads everywhere. And just the incredible, inexorable creep of ads everywhere in society. Like, I get it. It's paying for things. It's adding improvements. But there's just a part of me that is just, just do with less, not more.
All right. So this is the scenario. You're sitting at home. You're watching the Celtics game. I can guarantee you, regardless of how big your television is, 97% of the time, I would argue that you probably won't even see it. You probably won't even see it.
I hope so.
I mean, that's why I'm kind of just like, all right, so what? I mean, it is bad.
The way it is, I kind of tend to agree. And it's not even necessarily an aesthetic thing for me so much as it is just enough.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, they're so small. I don't see them getting in the way. And it's not like the NBA will, like, going forward, like, let's say
you want to,
yeah, like, you, like, if you want to buy a Celtics jersey, you don't have to get one with the logo on it or with the ad on it. From what I can remember, the report saying is that they're going to offer both. So you won't, you know.
Really? They're going to offer ones with a logo on it. I wonder if I'm really curious now to see if there's going to be a difference in terms of sales.
That's actually a good point. I mean, maybe some people like it. You know,
I have heard people who say that they actually support it. I mean, not necessarily from an aesthetic perspective, but I mean, the league, in my opinion, with the money that it has flowing through right now, is as good as it's ever been. So, I mean, there is an argument to be made that the more money there is in the league, the better the players you can attract, the more things you can do, and the more interesting it'll be.
I mean, look at it this way. Soccer jerseys have a bunch of advertisements on them, and people wear soccer jerseys all the time.
It's true.
So, I know it's a little weird because historically NBA jerseys haven't had advertisements on them.
I may be the old man yelling at the cloud. It's okay.
It's all right. People have their preferences. But yeah, I don't think it's a big deal. You think it might be the end of the world, but I think we'll be all right. Amy Bradley is out at least another week.
Good. Stay out. Get healthy.
Yep. I 100% agree. I don't want him in a gym as long as he's not feeling 100%.
Well, maybe a gym. He does have three other limbs.
I still don't want him in a gym. I don't want him near a gym. I want him at home recovering. True. Having a trainer come to his house and massage him or whatever it is that he needs done. Throw him in a cold bath, ice bath, wine bath, whatever NBA players are doing nowadays. But yeah, I'm totally fine with him keeping himself home and recovering accordingly. So we've had some rumblings on the trade front.
Vucevic.
Yeah, Orlando and Boston have reportedly had some talks surrounding him. What do you think of the Celtics being linked to yet another trade rumor?
Well, you know, I did think about him a little bit. I'm a little bit concerned with here's the deal with Vucevic. If we take him on, we are out of the free agent market this summer. Conversely, the free agent market this summer kind of stinks unless somebody shakes free that doesn't look like they're going to shake free at the moment. There's a pretty small chance we're going to get that player, like that, you know, in quotation marks, or capitalized or however you want to talk about it. The guy who's going to bring us into contention, he's not going to be that guy, but he might be the guy to get us to the finals if, say, you know, Toronto and or Cleveland have injury issues. He could be the person in terms of covering, rebounding, and being capable of adding a good offensive punch. And his contract's pretty manageable. I mean, it's in the $12 million mark. It goes for two more years after this season. He adds close to 10 rebounds a game, 9.7 averaging this season with 14 points. So that's a pretty potent combination, lacking in areas where, you know, he's not going to take over a game in terms of scoring some offense, but I mean, he's averaged as high as nearly 20 points per game.
Yeah.
In his career. So, I mean, he could definitely in the right system, getting fed at the post. He could be a really good way to balance the team's offensive capabilities while also, you know, further adding some rim protection and some really badly needed rebounding. So for what he's making, I think that he would actually be a pretty solid add because he's going to be movable. If somebody looks to be available in the trade market, he's still very young. his production is probably not gonna wane off for at least another, you know, for the duration of his contract. He's gonna be, I think, a safe investment, particularly considering he's making below league average as a starter, and I think he is a starter, not a great starter, but a starter quality player. So not the top of a, you know, I mean, it'll kill a lot of the flexibility that we know that Danny wants. So there is that. But I do think that at the end of the trade deadline period, if he's still on the market and we haven't found anyone that looks like they're going to be a bigger fish to shake free, I would not at all be surprised if we do make a move for him.
You see, I don't like the idea of a trade for a guy that we can plug in, but we have to basically wait and hope that something happens to one of Toronto or Cleveland star players in order for us to, you know, move up the boards. Like,
what do we really have at this point, honestly?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because I mean, the guy to get in free agency is probably not going to be there. It looks fairly strongly like everybody's going to be coming back to their teams, with maybe the exception of Blake. The next couple of weeks are going to give us a big clue about that.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what happens with that. Definitely something to follow, though.
You know, I mean, if he can't carry the team in Chris Paul's absence, Chris is out with an injury.
Yeah.
Until, I think, March. Then, you know, it could be possible that they blow him up. There's some simmerings going on with Melo, possibly going there. And some, you know, as an aside, some rumors that we might get involved also as a third party.
Nope.
Something I mentioned, I know you don't want it to happen. I don't think, let me just like put that rumor to bed. Unless we are trading for Melo or for one of the larger salaried teams, I could be wrong, but I did a dive into an article on trading for Melo or working as it turns out, as a third party facilitator. We would have to, the way the salaries worked, take on somebody, I know it would break the hearts of some of you guys to hear that we'd have to include Paul Pierce in a trade with one of their big names like DeAndre or Blake or Chris Paul. They're not trading DeAndre, period, ever. And I don't think they're going to move Chris Paul, and we wouldn't want him based on, you know, he's great, he's amazing, he's transcendent, whatever. Maybe we would want him, I don't know, I'm speaking for everyone here, but I wouldn't want him because of his age. I don't think he puts us into contention either, particularly with what we have to give up to get him.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I just, like, in terms of, like, shaking loose a smaller player, like, I don't know. Why am I flaking on, my God, he has a ringer, not ringer. He has his own podcast. I need more coffee. Bear with me. J.J. Redick.
There you go.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. Anyway, J.J. Redick's salary is too small to fit into a trade package that could work with the Celtics. And the Clippers are in a situation where they are unable to move parts directly with Cleveland in a way that wouldn't gut their team. Or excuse me, with the Knicks. Yeah, I do need more coffee.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, I want no parts of this. I don't want to be a third. I don't want to be a third party in this. I don't want to read any more mellow trade rumors. I don't care if they have anything to do with us. I'm just tired of it. Just get mellow out of New York and let that be that. That saga hasn't gone very well. Especially with Phil Jackson around, so let's just put that to bed and leave everybody alone. But another player that we were apparently kicking the tires on was Larry Sanders. Larry Sanders has been out of the league for
2 years.
Yeah. He was dealing with personal issues that he tended to, which I respect 100%. You know, deal with what you gotta deal with. take care of yourself first and foremost, and then, you know, come back potentially when you're ready. So the Celtics were linked to Larry Sanders because he is a big man who rebounded pretty well. Was leading the league in blocked shots with almost three per game in 2014-2015. But some sad news. It seems as though the Celtics are going to take a pass on Larry Sanders for now. The Boston Globe was reporting that, according to a team source, the workout that he had with the Celtics didn't go very well. So,
and I mean, that's kind of to be expected. You step away, even if you're super athletic, if you're not playing all the time after 2 years, you're not going to be ready. You know, you have to spend a lot of time in the D League, and even then, there's a lot of risk. You know, I'm 100% supportive of what Larry Sanders did. I think a lot of the flack that he gets when his name comes up is unfair.
Yeah,
I think you really want a player who has enough presence of mind to seek help and get away from the game when he has problems like this, instead of, I won't name any particular player's name, but say turning to drink or drugs to bury them and getting, you know, tossed from team to team, trying to revive your career while doing nothing about it.
Yeah.
So I think that there's plenty of reasons to support Larry Sanders as a person. But when you're running a team, you have to factor in the fact that it's not just his athleticism that's a concern. So if it's a long-term thing where he's going to be spending time in D-League to get back into the game and not just stepping right back into a role that he wants, that's something to worry about.
Yeah, that is true. Well, all right, so we got no Melo to Boston, no Larry Sanders, it seems, for right now. But I guess we'll see. I'd be willing. I wouldn't be willing because I'm not. I don't own the team. But I would be okay with seeing, even though the workout apparently didn't go very well. Like you said, obviously he hasn't been playing for a few years. No matter if, regardless of whether or not he stayed in shape, was at the gym all the time, whatever. Like it's still different. I'd be willing. For the Celtics to just take a shot, see if he can get into shape as he plays, or as, you know, as he gets back into the game full time, because I think he would be a valuable asset. And if nothing else, it seems like you would be giving up a roster spot with somebody like James Young, who I honestly can't remember the last time he played.
So, I mean, he's had some spotty contributions of note over the season, but I agree with you. Like, I'm personally, I would be willing to give it just because of the potential that's, you know, still theoretically there.
Yeah.
Given the right environment, I would also be up for that. But like, I completely understand what I'm assuming the rationale is. Why wouldn't you take a flyer unless you were concerned that the time you would need to put in might get less of a return than what you're going to get from James Young.
Yeah. I guess we'll see. It's a stay tuned. Stay tuned. All right. Let's have let's do some quick takes. Right. Rondo and the Bulls and Dwayne Wade and the whole Boston thing.
Okay. Rondo. I love Rondo. Don't hate on me, Rondo apologists.
I love Rondo too.
I do, man. I want to see him succeed, but he needs to realize that Doc Rivers is not his coach, and those days are gone.
Yeah, that is true.
Now that said, there is, you know, the rest of the team, not including Rondo, reportedly has been complaining that it is basically buddy ball between Butler and Wade, and that they want Wade to practice more, and it doesn't sound like this team is going to be making the playoffs.
Not if this stuff continues. There's just like so much animosity there. I it's hard to say who likes who, what the real beef is, if there is any beef, if Rondo was just trying to sort of wake his team up or wake Dwayne Wade up or what have you.
I think he's just being Rondo.
I think he's just being Rondo. All right. Jaylen Brown turning down the dunk contest.
I'm disappointed personally from an entertainment perspective and 100% supportive from a save your body for games that actually matter perspective.
Do you, I guess we don't know, but I wonder how much of a strain it puts on your body to participate in the dunk contest. Because I guess it does go beyond the dunk contest. You do have to prep for it.
Why don't all players dunk too?
Yeah.
You know, because it can hurt you and it takes a lot out of you every time you do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I like the fact that he's approaching this from a bodily integrity perspective to put his energy towards games that matter. You know, I mean, he hasn't explicitly said that. He's just said that he wants to, you know, take care of himself.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming that's the rationale.
No, you got to take care of yourself before you do all of these things. What about him not being invited to the Rising Stars?
You know, that's another chip to put on the shoulder of a team with lots of chips on their shoulders.
I think he just came on a little too late.
Yeah.
Had he had this week that he's had, like 2 weeks ago, I think maybe they would have extended an invitation. But I think it was a little too late. But I guess we'll never know. We spoke about Marcus Smart and the whole Wizards thing. I think we're both pretty much behind it, I would say, yeah?
Yep. What about the Ibaka trade proposals floating out there from Keith Smith and several others?
Do you want to fill me in on that?
Okay, so a couple of people out there have been talking about kicking the tires on an Ibaka trade. And from a strictly cap geek perspective, it makes a lot of sense. He is a potentially, he's basically, his numbers are very similar to Al Horford's, maybe even a little bit better in some areas, particularly recently. Of course, injuries may have been playing into that. And he doesn't come with long-term money. You know, he's only got the rest of this year before he needs to be, you know, re-signed or let walk. So you'd really – it's pretty rare that you would – I mean, he's everything we would want from a player like Andrew Bogut, with a bit more of an offensive game and a perimeter spacing ability. So he's potentially a very valuable player, and Orlando is going nowhere. And now, if you were just talking in a vacuum, if the management was just looking to maximize their assets, then it would make a lot of sense for them to move him and just, you know, take a pretty solid return in terms of young players and maybe a variety of non-lottery firsts, maybe like two, something like maybe next year's Boston and, I don't know, maybe the Boston the year after that or something. Or, you know, a good collection of second rounders, like maybe say this year's Minnesota, which is going to fall just outside of the first round, most likely. Plus next year's Boston pick, something like that would be a great return. And everybody would go away happy. And that all sounds good, except for one problem. Ibaka was acquired by trading away Oladipo, as well as a lottery pick. So that's two lottery picks for this guy that they clearly, these guys have not been able to get into the playoffs for some time now. I forget how many years it is. It's like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, basically since Dwight left Orlando.
Yeah, Dwight Howard days.
Yep. So they are under the gun. They're going to get canned almost certainly if they don't turn it around next season. And if they trade away Ibaka, they are not turning it around next season. So they are not trading Ibaka. They're just not unless they get basically like they would probably pull the trigger on this year's Brooklyn pick, next year's Brooklyn pick, or maybe the Memphis 2019 pick, also with young players, which is just too rich of a guy who could just walk at the end of the season for Boston.
Yeah, no, I'm not willing to give up so much for what seems like a rental.
Yeah, and you don't even know if he's going to keep up this level of production if he does re-sign, too.
Exactly.
So
yeah, so nope, and no. Yep. The top three teams in the East, Cleveland, Toronto, and Boston, have all had skids over the past week. I chalk that up to pre-All-Star week blues. Players are tired, need a break. What do you think?
Yeah, DeRozan's injury, a little bit of infighting, trying to still kind of sort out the J.R. Smith situation in Cleveland. I mean, I know it's been going on for a while, but they still haven't really come up with a solution for that. They don't have enough ball distribution, and LeBron is rightfully making some noise about it, and Dan Gilbert is turning around saying, "Well, maybe that's $40 million." No, you did not. That's just what you lost in terms of, like, clearly defined NBA-related revenue.
Yeah.
We'll make it up if you All right. Anything else to cover before we jump into the week ahead?
I think we pretty much got everything that's important. I mean, no Melo, no Larry Sanders. The NBA is a mess right now. You got Golden State just beating everybody by like 400 points. And then you have this stuff going on in Cleveland. You have all these injuries. You have all these players trying to come back from God knows where.
Integrating Jared Sullinger into Toronto.
Yeah, you got Russell Westbrook and just triple doubles. And yeah, there's just so much going on. It's a little overwhelming, but I mean, it's a good season. It should be a fun All-Star game. But yeah, the midway point of the season is always a funny one. There's always a lot going on. But I'm sure the players are happy to have some time off.
I feel like where we expected to be.
Yeah.
I don't think anything's too surprising so far.
No, I would say
the journey, yes, but where we're at now, no.
No, yeah. I would say there were about three or four losses. Well, I would say maybe even five or six games that just got away from us. So I think our record should be a little better, but it is what it is. I mean, right now we're second in the East. That's one thing we have not said. Yeah, we're second in the East.
Well, let's talk about that as we go through the games, because that's gonna
be a big topic.
We've got Detroit and then Toronto coming up very, very soon. We should beat Detroit.
Detroit is tonight.
And they're in a tie right now, last I checked anyway, for ninth with the Bucks. And, they're not doing great. They're not doing terrible. They just got Reggie back fairly recently. They're finally mostly healthy. So the fact that they've lost, the last two games and five of the last 10, might be a little misleading. They're almost certainly going to be a win for us, but, not if we play down to them.
Yeah, it's a nationally televised game too.
Yep.
So
they're gonna show up.
Yeah, they'll show up, but I think the Celtics can take care of them.
And then we're gonna play Toronto.
That's a big one. We actually have two big games this week. They're playing the Clippers later this week, but I would say that the Toronto game, in terms of seeding, obviously,
I think that's gonna decide who is going to be the team with the coach at the All-Star game.
And I think, I don't know if that's secondary or primary at this point. I want to say it's primary. Let's go into the All-Star game with
that's the one thing we can snatch back.
Yeah, that would be cool to see Brad Stevens coaching a group of East All-Stars. That would be pretty cool.
It wouldn't hurt for recruiting.
And if, again, I think I said this in a maybe not the last podcast, but the podcast before that, if Brad Stevens is coaching the All-Star game, it means that we're second in the East, which is an even bigger deal. But we'll see. I mean, they did the Boston Celtics did beat Houston, a good team. So it's not like they're incapable of beating Toronto, but every time Boston matches up against Toronto, it just seems like they're kind of outmatched. They aren't being totally outplayed, but they they are clearly outmatched.
Yeah, I think it's just a matchup thing. I'm really hoping that their struggles integrating Sully are going to be continued. I mean, Sully was terrible in the last game that I saw them play. He was 0 for 1, no points in 7 minutes. I think he had like 1 or 2 boards. You really think that losing streak is all DeRozan? Do you think that trying to get, you know, and you have to play Sully as a fairly significant offseason acquisition?
Like I was saying sort of about the All-Star game, I really feel like it's most of the teams that are going through skids right now, whether it's the top of the East, the bottom of the East, top of the West, bottom of the West, it's just fatigue at this point. So I think players right now are at a point where they may be injured and are able to play, but at this point in the season, they would rather just take the night off instead of just playing through XYZ injury. Even if they're just like 90%, they're going to hold out because of that 10% and just wait for the All-Star break to pass by and just deal with the rest of the season. I don't know if Toronto just can't beat anybody without DeRozan. I think they can, and I'm sure maybe DeRozan can play if like he really wanted to, but I'm sure he's just holding out for the All-Star break. If that makes sense.
DeRozan was pretty good in his first game back. He was 6 of 18 for a line of 22 points that night. So I don't think we can depend on him being a tentative, you know, careful player.
You think so? I mean, I guess we'll see. The first few minutes will dictate a lot. But maybe he'll be so confident that that Toronto will just beat up on Boston again, and he'll just kind of coast through the game and have an off night.
Let's hope.
I hope so too. that would be cool. We got a game against the Lakers.
Beginning of the big West Coast trip. Yep.
I think the Laker game is a win.
Oh, I would be very. I mean, hey, you know, they beat us last year with Lynn having a huge night.
The Lakers did also beat Golden State. Well, this was last year. But that was without Kevin Durant.
Yeah. I mean, they are capable of beating Boston should they show up and expect to win, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. So we got a win against Detroit. What do you say, win or loss against Toronto?
I think it's going to be the opposite of last week. I think we're going to have 3 wins in a row and then a loss to the Clippers. I don't think we're beating the Clippers.
You really? Even without Chris Paul?
Nope. This is going to be they are very close to us in terms of record. They're 4th in the West. That's because the West is, you know, more competitive. Their record right now is 30-18, which is just 1 win better than us. So in terms of, you know, they very much parallel Boston's situation in the West. In terms of they're probably not good enough to get to the finals, but could if things shake out right or they make the right move. And people are going to be very skeptical of how they're going to do with Chris Paul out, and Blake should be fully healthy. And I think that he's going to try to put on a show. So I think we should expect one of the better games of him for the year based on the setting and the timing. I'm not saying we can't beat them. I'm just going to be surprised if we come out and actually do beat them.
Yeah. If Avery Bradley was in the game, is that a win or still no?
I don't think that that's going to be the decisive factor. I think it's going to be shutting down Blake.
Who do we match him up with. That was I was just thinking.
I think Jaylen Brown could handle him for some of the time. I think Marcus Smart can give some good help.
Yeah.
But it's gonna be a problem.
So you give him no chance.
I don't give him no chance. I just think that if we're going to, I think we're going to win three of the four games. And if it's not the Clippers, it's going to be Toronto that we lose. I kind of feel like we might get a little high horse, think a little bit too much of ourselves if we do beat Toronto. And I think we're going to beat Toronto. And I think that combined with Blake coming back, with a chip on his shoulder, you got to keep in mind he's been in trade rumors. People have been questioning his value going forward because of the repeated operations and injuries and character issues from the punching thing last year too. So I think he's going to come hard, and I think that if Horford is back, that'll help. But I mean, he's not going to be the best cover for him. I think he'll help, but I think we're going to need more help.
I mean, you still have DeAndre Jordan.
Exactly.
Who I don't think we have any matchup.
No.
Amir Johnson isn't touching him. I don't see any way. You can probably double team him, limit him a little bit, maybe put Marcus Smart on him, but... Yeah, I think he's I don't want to say he's our biggest problem with them. I would say Blake is for sure. But he's another big factor there. But I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to say that to finish off the week, the Celtics will beat Detroit, Toronto, and the Clippers, but will lose to the Lakers.
You're going full Justin last week.
Yeah, after a Toronto win.
Frankly speaking, that would make me overjoyed if you are correct.
Yeah, I mean, that would be great. That's a good week. I think that's a good week. Beat Toronto and the Clippers, but lose to the Lakers. Good teams lose to bad teams. So I'd be cool with that. But if we beat Detroit and the Lakers, but lose to Toronto and the Clippers, then I would say that our win against Houston meant nothing.
Yeah, kind of. That's more indicative of them having a bad night than us necessarily being great, which isn't really – I don't really feel that's true, but it would be hard to argue against that if that does happen.
Yeah. So you're going 3-1. I'm going 3-1 as well, or maybe 2-2.
Okay. Well, we'll find out.
Man, we're so hard on the Celtics, man.
Good.
I prefer this. I don't want to be like, yeah, the Celtics are going to go undefeated the rest of the season. They're going to beat everybody by 25 points because obviously that's not going
to
happen.
Man, I hope for the best and plan for the worst. I think it's a good way to approach sports too.
No, yeah, for sure. Well, guys, you can check out the links at the top of CelticsLife.com. We have a huge variety of shirts and hoodies in our store, and you can even get tickets to the Celtics' next game under that same heading. Now you can find our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, SoundCloud, and Mixcloud. So you guys have no excuses. We're everywhere. So the Celtics will come away, let's just say 3-1 after this week, going into the All-Star break. And we'll be seeing Isaiah Thomas there. No Jaylen Brown in the dunk contest, which makes me a little sad. But yeah, I'd rather him protect himself and take care of his body before anything else. I think that's everything. Just want to thank you guys for checking us out this week. And we will be back next week. Don't forget the Patriots are in the Super Bowl. That's on Sunday. I'm sure nobody has forgotten that, so I don't know why I said don't forget.
Just in case, we've got it covered.
Just in case. We're reminding you. So mark your calendars, Super Bowl on Sunday. Hopefully the Pats win. And, yeah, go Celtics.